With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Waiver Wire Week 9. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Dan Harris. And joining us today, Scott Bogman, Mr. IDP, Mr. CFB. It's a lot of letters. I'm just going to leave it at that. But we are here talking about the waiver wire. And I wish it wasn't such an important show today, in some essence, because the 1-1, Derrick Henry, the last man standing, the one we can always depend on, the Rock of Gibraltar, will not be playing football for quite some time. And somehow we're going to have to pick up the pieces on today's show and figure it out. We also had Calvin Ridley also now opting out of the season. We'll get to that in a bunch. So look, there are so many things here to dissect. And Dan Harris, I know, you know, when last time we spoke, things were down for the Jets, but I'm just happy for you because it looks like after yesterday, the Jets have clearly found their franchise quarterback. I mean, just dropping 400 passing yards. It was a good day. Happy Halloween to you. That was all treat, baby. No trick.
Yeah, I have now purchased my Super Bowl tickets because I think it's all but assured that we will be there. I have to be honest with you guys. I missed the entire fourth quarter of that game. I have since watched it, of course, but I was on my way to the trick-or-treating festivities, and I didn't even know about it until I got texts from all my Jets fans friends. So I guess maybe I am the bad luck charm, and that would explain why they've been terrible my entire life. So I am glad to see them on the upswing right now, and I look forward to everybody sharing with either my joy or my misery on Thursday night here against the Colts.
I think everyone should encourage Dan, if you're a Jet fan, to go take a long walk around his neighborhood and or dress up in some kind of costume just to keep the streak alive.
I think if Mike White is still a quarterback of the Jets this time next year, that Dan has to go as Magic Mike White for Halloween next year.
Oh, my goodness.
I agree. I'm totally in on that. I think it's fine.
Someone clip and save this, please.
It's unfortunate that watching football is, in fact, part of my job because I can't just ignore it usually going forward. But if Mike White leads him to the Super Bowl, I'll go ahead and do that.
Well, Bogman and I will have rolls of singles ready for when and if that happens. And now I'm Very rooting good. For it. You found a way, Bogman, to get me to root for the Jets. I didn't think that was ever possible, but you did it. And Boggs, you're coming off a very nice Steelers win for your boys.
Yeah.
And Pat Freiermuth emerging as a force to be reckoned with. Must be feeling pretty good on this Monday, too. And you didn't even have to go trick-or-treating.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice to see Toe-Tap Pat get involved with Eric Ebron out. It also makes me think, boy, what kind of offensive lineman could we have spent money on instead of Eric Ebron, you know? But, you know, that's just the way it goes. It's also like every time I see Terrell Edmonds miss a tackle, I think you could have been Lamar Jackson. You know, it's just one of those things. So.
Oh, this is a fact. This is a fact. And I guess the other question for you, too, is, you know, how sweet was it for you to have to watch Myles Garrett wear his costume again after the loss, because he had to wear the cape, because that's all he brought with him, the cape where he sacked all the guys, but he had to come out in the press conference with the loss. I thought that was probably pretty amusing for you.
Oh, yeah, I feel real bad for Myles Garrett, let me tell you. Yeah, he's just a great dude. Yeah, he is a great dude when he's not swinging helmets, but yeah, I mean, he's Myles Garrett. I had him ranked one, and my boy TJ Watt outperformed him, so I love that.
There you have it. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty of today, too. Before we do, I want to remind everybody, we got a new contest going on for November. October is over. It's done. So no more Justin Jefferson helmet. Instead, we've got a Chris Godwin autographed jersey, courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Pristine Auction.com. Head over to fantasypros.com/contest, and you can get involved in that and sign up. All you got to do to get in the contest is leave a glowing review of the show, which is so easy to do. And while you're at it, you might as well subscribe to our YouTube channel to get 3 times your entry into the contest. And once you are entered, all you got to do is leave that review. Like I said, screenshot it, upload it, and just like that, a Chris Godwin jersey can be yours. Tom Brady's 3rd favorite wide receiver on his team. And obviously, don't forget about that YouTube subscription too, because you want more entries. And I know it's waiver wire season here still. We're in the thick of it. Everybody's fighting for their lives, and you can help that fight with My Playbook Cheat Sheets. Now, only premium subscribers can utilize the waiver assistant over on My Playbook, but our cheat sheets in My Playbook are completely free. All you have to do is sync up your league and get instant waiver wire and lineup advice by combining your favorite expert's weekly rest of season or dynasty rankings into one fantastic customizable cheat sheet. Both our waiver assistant and our cheat sheets, which are free, by the way, are found at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. So go check that out. Boggs, you know, the Derrick Henry news, injury, that's something we're going to get into a fair amount. The Calvin Ridley stuff, this is one that, you know, was kind of building up for a little while. So we just lost 2 premium talents in 24 hours. That's a lot to take in, I think, in the fantasy football community, don't you think?
Yeah, and they're really irreplaceable. Like, you're going to go to the wire, you're going to try to find someone, but it's not like you're going to go to the wire and find Derrick Henry, right? So it's tough. And I know that some people are going to take a victory lap for Derrick Henry getting hurt because of the marker, right? The 375 carry marker, 350, I can't remember which one it is. It's the million carry marker that Derrick
Henry has. Yeah, I think he's at 1.5 million right now. Yeah.
4 years in a row or whatever it is. And, you know, him getting hurt, but I prepared by drafting Darrington Evans, who is also out for the year. So I guess Jeremy McNichols right now, maybe they're going to sign Adrian Peterson. It is a huge question mark. Calvin Ridley, you're going to see this Falcons offense go the way I think of the Saints. So there's not really anyone that is there to pick up because, I mean, okay, maybe 1 week it's Russell Gage and the next week it's Zacchaeus, and then it's, you know, someone
Tajay Sharp.
Yeah, Tajay Sharp, blast from the past, you know. And then it's probably going to be someone on their practice squad. So Kyle Pitts, and I think Mike Davis really opens up more than anybody else because Cordarrelle Patterson is going to have to use as a wideout more.
Yeah, it feels like, Dan, to me that it's easier in some way to replace some of the productivity from Calvin Ridley. We're going to go through some wide receiver names, and there's some guys that are starting to really pop. You know, we'll talk about Van Jefferson. I'm sure we'll hit Bateman again, and some of the guys in Miami who might be floating around the waiver wire, too. So there's some names, at least. You're not going to get Calvin Ridley-esque production, but Calvin Ridley hasn't really given you Calvin Ridley-like production all year anyway. It's absolutely Derrick Henry that is impossible, as Boggan was saying, and Adrian Peterson certainly not the answer either. And as of us recording this, we've got the trade deadline. Is it, in your mind, do you feel as though that's going to be the resolution here for the Tennessee Titans? They're going to make a move, or do you think the move is Adrian Peterson?
I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly what they were going to do. They need to add somebody, of course, because, again, as Bog said, you know, Darrington Evans is lost for the season, and Jeremy McNichols is a very good player, and he probably could have a bigger role and succeed in a bigger role if they allowed that to happen, but I don't think that they are going to. He'll be relevant. We'll talk about him, I'm sure, on the show as a pass catcher at the very least. They're going to sign and or trade for somebody. I think Marlon Mack is the guy who seems like the obvious fit to me, but it's the Colts, and who knows whether or not they want to help their division rival here. If I were them, I honestly wouldn't care, because who cares anyway? Makes them better to get rid of him, and they're not going to win that division now after this anyway. So they're going to do something. We're speculating at this point what it might be, but regardless of who it is, that is obviously, you don't need me to tell you this, not the Derrick Henry replacement for you. There is no Derrick Henry replacement. He was legit in a tier unto himself among all players in fantasy right now. So we'll wait and see who it is. I think you got to add McNichols regardless, but certainly it's going to be interesting to see what this does to the Titans offense, generally speaking, going forward.
Well, let's kick things off here with the running back position and start there. And Dan Harris, we'll start with you. Who is your number one running back addition this week when we're talking about who is available, how much you're spending on them? Because obviously now there's a huge hole in that running back tier one that has now been just burst open by Derrick Henry's absence. So not that you could fill it with anybody who's out there, but who do you at least want to bid on?
We recommended a Philadelphia running back last week, so let's do it again this week as our top pickup. It is Boston Scott to me. This is a miss by me. I'm a miss by a lot of people. But
it must be us. Let's just say collectively us, okay?
Here's what I will.
44-6. I don't think any of us were writing that script. We were all worried about, oh my goodness, what's going to go on the Eagles? But, I mean, 44 points later, and Jordan Howard and Boston Scott each having touchdowns. That's none of us saw that coming.
Fun fact, I had to start Jordan Howard in the league and it worked out okay. But for me, I did not expect realistically Boston Scott to be like the primary running down guy. Like, I just didn't. I assumed that Gainwell would get more of a run in that role in addition to being a pass catching back. And Scott would, you know, factor in a little bit and Jordan Howard at the goal line, but I did not see this coming. And you're right, Joe, this is not how it's going to be every time going forward, where Gainwell, who again actually led the Eagles in carries because he just ran nonstop in the fourth quarter, but before it was totally over, he didn't factor in whatsoever. I didn't see that coming, but it was clear that the Boston Scott is going to be the running downs back. Was not just a, all right, Miles Sanders is down, we don't want to take Gainwell entirely out of his role in the middle of a game, so we'll just give Boston Scott. That's actually what they want to do. And he looked good in an admittedly soft matchup, which, guess what? We get one again here going forward, right? As they're going to take on the Chargers next week, which is basically the softest matchup you can have for a running back. So for me, especially in, you know, Miles Sanders out at least 2 weeks, but in a game now, in a week coming up, where four teams are on bye, so you're going to need someone. People have just lost Derrick Henry. Boston Scott, widely available. He's certainly a guy who earned their trust this week. There's going to be a lot of running down work coming forward. So for me, he's a guy. It's 15% for me, though, Joe, because, again, the fact that Jordan Howard is factoring in here at this point. And, again, we're going into week nine. You've got 30% of your league just totally checked out at this point. So, you know, I'm not that worried about needing to spend a crazy amount of fab at this point. But Jordan Howard's going to factor in, but Boston Scott's going to be good for 12 to 15 touches, a lot of work against a very soft run defense. So he's my top guy this week.
Yeah, look, I can understand pushing up to the 15%, and Boston Scott is my one too. I'm not going to double up too much about Boston Scott because I don't know how much there is to say, but it does still feel very temporary because Miles Sanders, we all believe, is going to come back in a few weeks. But in the meantime, you've got a good matchup. You've got needs. Absolutely. I think in that 10 to 15%, if you are desperate, that makes sense. Boggs, I don't want to jump to conclusions here on the mat that you gave me for Christmas last year. But at the same time, can you tell me who your number one is at running back?
It's a jump to conclusions, Matt. yeah, I mean, it probably has to be Boston Scott at this point, specifically with the matchup here coming up against the Chargers, even if Miles Sanders is coming back soon. I hate this Eagles offense so much. I despise it. I mean, you know, what are we doing with Miles Sanders? You know, because Miles Sanders never had a game as good as Boston Scott the entire year leading up to this point. And, you know, is Devontae Smith going to be involved ever again, or is he just dead? You know, Dallas Goedert.
You mean you weren't happy with the 100 yards passing from Jalen Hurts in that 44-6 victory?
49. Dallas Goedert was okay. Goedert was okay, though, right?
Because he's the only one that caught a pass. I mean, correct. He's the only guy that they targeted. So
correct.
I'm annoyed with this whole thing, but it has to be Boston Scott. I will say this, though. If you're the Derrick Henry manager here and they do sign Adrian Peterson, he will leapfrog Boston Scott for me because that's more rest of the season value, in my opinion, because you built this whole offense around having a running back that can take the ball 25 to 30 times a game. And you're not going to get that from Adrian Peterson, but you probably get 15 to 20 touches from him at a base. And then they'll go with Jeremy McNichols in his role as receiving back for the rest of the year. So if Peterson does sign there, I think it's a pretty good sign moving forward for his value.
Well, let's play out the scenarios, because as of right now, we don't have the answers to all of these questions. So let's say that is the scenario, and let's play that out. Bogman brought it up that Peterson would jump Scott for him, and I can understand why, because I would think that he would get the lion's share of those carries over McNichols as well. Would you sign off on that as well, Dan? Or you think that McNichols is actually going to be more in a timeshare with a guy like Adrian Peterson?
It's a really good question, and you could probably see my face if you were watching over at youtube.com/fantasypros, that I was considering it as Bogman said it. I don't know, Joe, and I tell you why. We've got at least two games more without Miles Sanders, right? He was placed on IR. He's got to miss a minimum of three. Could be longer, by the way, because as much as it was a little weird for me, guys. I don't know about you, where they got the, this is such a light ankle sprain. We're going to see how it goes. P.S. Immediately, we're placing you on IR. Like, that's a little strange. You had the Christian McCaffrey thing where they held and held and held and then had to do it. That's what they do a lot of times. The fact that they place him immediately on IR makes me think like, maybe it could be longer. But at a minimum, we've got two. We've got a really, really good matchup against the Chargers and what looks like a very unimposing matchup against Denver with all their injuries and everything like that. And, you know, they just made a trade, of course. So it's 2 weeks that you can probably start Boston Scott as maybe a borderline RB2. Conversely, you're going to have Adrian Peterson, let's say again that he would be, who comes in. More long-term value, I agree with Bogman there. But we don't know exactly how that is going to be split. We can't assume that this is what they're going to be, where they're going to say, okay, well, we based our offense around having this absolute horse at running back. So come on, absolute new horse who's, you know, 1,000 years old.
Old horse, yeah. Right?
Old horse, what an old horse. But also, look, in the short term, he's got to get up to speed on the offense. We've got the Rams, and then we've got New Orleans for the next two. So this is something where, like, Peterson's not going to be probably of that much use immediately. So he'd be probably a 1A, 1B for me, but I might actually prefer Scott just because I think fantasy managers are more likely in the scenario needing to win the next week or two, as opposed to thinking about what things are going to look like in week 10, 11, 12, I mean, week 11, 12, 13.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Decked. Now, my next door neighbor loves his truck. I mean, loves it. The ride height, how it drives, the towing, the storage, all of it. It's a great ride, but he dreads this time of year. Why? Because it can be wet and rainy and even snowy, which means whatever you left in the back of your truck, like tools, hunting gear, sports stuff, whatever it is, guess what? It gets ruined. So what are your options? Bring it in at night, stash it in the cab. Nobody wants to do any of that stuff. You want to cover it up with a tarp? No, it's terrible. It's going to suck. And it's always a hassle. So what he got is Decked. And let me tell you, this thing is really cool. The Decked drawer system is weatherproof, so it protects and secures all of your stuff from Mother Nature. And Decked also makes organizing, accessing, everything you need so much easier. Decked has two full bed-length drawers that can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you got. The drawers roll out waist-high, so it gives you easy access to your organized tools, your gear, whatever it might be. And the Decked drawer system keeps your gear secure. If your tailgate's locked and you can't open the drawers and you can't remove the system, drawer locks are available and added security of peace of mind as well. Decked is 100% made in the USA and backed by a lifetime no-hassle warranty with second-to-none customer service, and that team is ready to answer your questions at any time. So protect your stuff with Decked just like my buddy next door does. Get your Decked drawer system at Decked.com/fantasypros and get free shipping. That's Decked.com/fantasypros for free shipping on your Decked drawer system. Decked.com/fantasypros. And now back to the action. Okay, let's throw a third scenario out there, which is the trade scenario, because we do happen to be less than 24 hours basically until that deadline. Marlon Mack, David Johnson, Ronald Jones. These are a few names. I know some people were throwing Melvin Gordon, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Denver's happy with ruining all of our happiness.
Was
when
it Kyle
comes to
Yates?
Running backs.
Does Melvin Gordon know?
I don't know. I don't know if those two are speaking anymore. I don't know what's going on. I think there's like a peer mediation that's going to happen between the two of them at some point.
I think to be fair, I think Melvin Gordon was just defending me in that, in his clapback to Yates. Like,
so it's really you and Melvin Gordon are friends.
We're buds. Okay, he's a good dude. Right. Uh-huh.
So any of those names leapfrog Boston Scott or on this entire group? Because Marlon Mack, Ronald Jones, I mean, those guys are floating around there in free agency right now.
I think probably for me, like, if I were the Titans, I would probably prefer one of them. Marlon Mack, a very capable back, you know, and had
That's
been
an interdivision
for years.
Trade.
Yeah, it's true.
It's hard. Again, it's hard to pull off. But then again, I mean, for the right price, everybody's happy, right?
You know, Mac walks after this year, though, right? Like, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does. Yeah,
The Colts are not winning this division. Like, even with the Derrick Henry injury, like they've lost twice to the Titans at this point. This was their shot. This was really their last shot.
You didn't feel good about that incredible pick six moment there from Carson Wentz there in the end.
Here's the one thing I'll say about that pick six moment, as crazy as it was. Like, if you are Wentz, by the way, if you take a safety there, that game's probably
it ended up working out. You're right.
Correct.
That's the right thing to do. It was just the way it all went down.
He's playing 3D chess, Joe. Right. That's the
thing. I'm sure Carson Wentz was thinking about that when he threw that pick six. So.
Look, I really don't know. I think in the end, if they had one guy, and maybe I will change my mind if it's Peterson after I have some time to digest it realistically, but if they add a guy and it is Jones or it is Mac, like, yeah, maybe at that point I'll put it ahead. Maybe it is the fact that Adrian Peterson's 1,000 years old, even though he still runs very well. But it's going to be right there for me. Scott's a guy who might win you your week next week in a very soft matchup in a week where a lot of teams are on bye. So it's right there.
All right, I know we normally go down the whole, you know, who's your number one, who's your number two, but look, this is a very fluid situation here. I feel like we have Boston Scott, who we kind of have an idea of, and then after that, it's the fluid Tennessee Titans situation. So we're trying to run through all these scenarios. That way, one of them, hopefully, will come to fruition and be able to help people here with some good advice.
What's your anger level, Joe?
My anger level?
When Gainwell gets the most carries for Philly next
that's
week.
Right. It's on a scale of 1 to 10, it's 27.5.
Okay.
That's probably where it's
just Sirianni in a nutshell so far.
Well, that's
last year, too, and this year.
And that's why I think this is why it's always a good advice, and I think it's something that we should all focus on as fantasy analysts going forward into next year too, is really hyper-focusing on the good teams, the good offenses, and getting shares and involved in that. It's something I think gets under-discussed, generally speaking, in draft coverage, because we always like to say, well, what about these guys and these bad teams? Well, the bad teams are the bad teams because they're frustrating from the fantasy perspective because of the way that they operate or the way that they disappoint us in their ability to move the football and then score points, which means you're not scoring as many points in your fantasy team. So, you know, I think it's something that we kind of have to rethink a little bit of how we go. And as we're looking at the rest of this grouping here, Bogman, how do you rank the rest of them this week? Because it does kind of feel like they're a clump of running backs. Do you have an order, and do you have amounts or dollars, quote unquote, that you want to spend on these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I like taking a speculative ad on Jarrett Patterson for sure, because with this Antonio Gibson injury and Patterson getting more carries, you know, I mean, I think McKissick led them in snaps by a decent margin, but all three running backs in Washington had 11 touches. So they're going away from Gibson and more towards Patterson. I think at some point this year, they're going to end up shutting down Gibson. So I love a speculative ad on Jarrett Patterson, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15% for him. I also think you just mentioned it, Joe. I think Mark Ingram's value getting maybe 10 fewer touches in New Orleans is still more, because New Orleans offense, which isn't good, and they just lost their starting quarterback, is still way, way better than anything they're doing in Houston that's not named Brandon Cooks. So I think he is a decent add at somewhere around 5% as well. I'm not really interested in Jordan Howard. I don't think he has long-term value. This week, maybe, you know, you throw $5 on him and just know that he's going to get carries against that soft Chargers run defense for sure. But other than that, I'm not a Rashad Penny guy. I mean,
don't say his name. He shall not be named on this podcast. No.
He's
seven
fetch.
Rushes for 7 yards yesterday.
He's fetch. Stop trying to make him happen.
Gross.
So,
you know how many points he's got this year in half point PPR? 3. You know how many games he's played? 3. Enough already. Enough with Rashad Penny. See, I've already gone to like 22.5. On the anger scale of the Rashad Penny. Oh, he just 7 carries for 7 yards. Dan Harris, please take over while I kind of, you know, just kind of do some deep breathing here. Bogman makes a great point about Patterson. I've been kind of pounding the table here about this Gibson situation because it's starting to feel eerily similar to the Mixon situation of last year. It's like, well, we're going to hang in there. Once we're not in it anymore, then why bother? And that terrifies me. And I got to tell you, I think everybody needs to be proactive. Patterson becomes an interesting guy to add. Is he on your list in your top 5 this week?
He's technically 6th for me, but it's not a huge difference. For me, he is ahead of Rashad Penny, so don't worry about that, guys.
If he wasn't, you can just leave the show right now. Like, that's
I'm
it.
Out. You're out. Yeah. So I the one thing is, first, they're on bye. So that makes it very difficult, I think, to add any player in a week, again, where four teams are on bye. It's very difficult to say, cool, I'm going to be able to stash this guy right now. Second, I have had long-term concerns with Gibson once I heard the word stress fracture. And again, Dr. Chow appears on our podcast on Friday, and he made it very clear, this doesn't get better, like, without sustained rest. So it's not as if, like, he's going to be like, okay, cool, I'm going to ease up in practice. That'll be fine. It'll be
fixed.
Well,
he got the bye this week, but I don't think that's
enough
rest.
They should have put him on IR just like the Panthers did.
That is correct. But that's the problem, right, Boggs? Had they put him in IR 2 or 3 weeks ago and then had the bye and he had a whole month off, maybe feel good about it, but it's that desperation, Dan, that Washington feels because they are fighting to stay relevant. And my fear is when they are no longer relevant, then where is Gibson?
So it's a possibility that they are going to shut him down. But I'm not absolutely convinced because this to me does not, like, it's sort of like guys in baseball, as we all talk baseball, when you have Tommy John, right? If you're going to have Tommy John, you should get it done immediately. But at the same time, Boggs, depending on where you are sort of in the season, it's like, okay, well, it's basically the end of the season. Should I try the PRP injections or whatever for like a couple of months? Because it doesn't matter because I'm out all of next year anyway. So if I wait a little bit, I can do it. That's a little bit of how I feel with Gibson, which is Gibson's going to be fine for next season regardless. I don't think he can really make it that much worse when he does it. It's much more about a pain tolerance issue. And the guy probably has a little bit of a reputation right now. It'd be like, are you injury prone, dude? Is this what you're going to do? So I think he may be motivated to want to try to play through it if he can't really have a bad injury going forward necessarily. So it is possible, but for me, that's still of a long-term gain. And guys, this is just kind of the way I do waiver wire for running backs, which is I look much more at my immediate needs as opposed to, man, I could really use somebody in 4 weeks at this point and let me think about how that's going to look. Because it's hard to hold on to guys, as we can tell. Like, we're dropping people, right? So for me, that's a little bit why he goes on. I would not be surprised if come week 12, something like that, week 13, he is the guy. And he's a huge guy who's going to make a major impact. There's the garage door, by the way. Who's going to make it happens every podcast. Nobody worry. It's going to make a major impact going forward. But at the same time, I'd just rather take a shot on guys, even a guy like Jordan Howard for me, who I feel is going to probably get goal line carries next week against the Chargers and looked pretty good doing it. A guy like McNichols, who even though we don't know his role necessarily going forward, it's a guy who I'd probably rather take a shot on. Or Mark Ingram as well, or Carlos Hyde, by the way. I know it's disgusting. I realize it. Carlos Hyde got a ton of targets yesterday. He may start next week. I don't want to start him against Buffalo, but if he's a guy who's going to get 15 touches, he has to be somebody who I'm interested in at some level. So I'll take all those guys right now over Patterson if I have to make that choice.
Yeah, I think it's, once again, if you have Gibson, it's more imperative to back yourself up with Patterson. If it's a short-term situation, then maybe Hyde. And I would be surprised from what I'm reading about so far with Robinson if he plays next week. That would be surprising that you'd want to throw him to the Wolves against Buffalo. I don't think that's a good idea. Oh, I think we've also learned in this podcast, too, that when Dan talks for more than 8 minutes uninterrupted, his wife leaves the house. And that's probably a good rule of thumb, just generally speaking. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Props Fantasy. Are you off to a slow start with your fantasy team and have that feeling of victory drifting away? Props Fantasy is here to get you back in the game. Sync your team from Sleeper, Yahoo, or coming soon ESPN, and get ready to win some money. Props Fantasy gives you the opportunity to cash in on the fantasy team you've drafted by competing in our weekly challenges against your league mates, the Props community, or even friends in other leagues. There is still a chance for you to win with the team that you've already drafted. Sign up with propsfantasy.com/pros to sync your rosters and start your first challenge today. Registration enters you into a chance to win an Aaron Rodgers signed helmet. So what are you waiting for? Head over to propsfantasy.com/pros right now. Again, that's propsfantasy.com/pros. And now back to the action. Let's switch gears to wide receiver, because I think this is much more fun to talk about. So let's do this instead. Bogman, let's start with you. Who is your number one ad this week at the wide receiver position, and how much fab do you want to bid on them?
For me, I'll go with Devontae Parker, but I'm not spending big money on any of these wide receivers this week. For me, Devontae Parker would be like, you know, $6-7 somewhere in that neighborhood. So I just like the fact that he's healthy and that the Dolphins are always down and they're going to have to be throwing the ball. So I think that's why I like Devontae Parker. Other than that, I like Ayuk He had, a bunch of routes run. I think he's getting better. Jamal Agnew, for whatever reason, I mean, I hate that it's Jamal Agnew, but he has been getting targets for the Jaguars, him and Dan Arnold. So I think he's on my list. Bateman, I would put in there. I'm not as high on Bateman as everybody else is, just because the Ravens don't pass the ball that much, and you still have Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown and Lamar Jackson. So he's really option four at best every single week, but he's still an option. And then Jameson Crowder. Look, if Magic Mike White is going to be putting up 400 yards every single week, I really, really like Jameson Crowder. I've always liked Jameson Crowder as a PPR option anyway, because he gets six catches for 60 yards and you're just really hoping for that score. But that's what I like at wide receiver. So it's more fun because there's more options and there's not as much desperation, but it's still not great.
Yeah. And I kind of agree with your sentiment. None of these guys are worth, a double digit bid in my world, because they don't separate themselves very much. Like, how much separation is there in a full point PPR from Devontae Parker and Jameson Crowder right now? Not a lot, probably.
Nothing.
I mean, you could look at the matchup Miami has against Houston and maybe favor one a little bit more. So maybe you go to, $8 on one guy and then six on the other one as a backup.
Dude, playing the Texans anymore and the Lions, it seems like, is like college football, where you're going to get wholesale changes in the fourth quarter and back the JV squad's going to come in for a quarter of experience. It's just ridiculous.
All right. So let's switch gears over to you here, Dan. Is there a number one? Is there an order that you have everybody in this week, or is this another kind of more just these guys are very similar to each other?
I think the guy I have a strong preference for is actually Bateman. And we've talked about it several times, Joe, so I don't want to belabor it. But to me, the bottom line is that the Ravens are passing more than they have in the past. I mean, Lamar Jackson throwing 32 times a game as compared to 25 or 27 as he has in the past couple of years. So to me, there is room for a third target out there with Andrews and Hollywood Brown. And to me, Bateman is that guy. So Bateman's the one guy, I think, who sits, for me, a little bit a tier into himself. But Parker is my second, because number one, again, the matchup with Houston, where I think hopefully Miami will have a little bit of a get right game in their passing game. But Parker looked great yesterday for the most part. I mean, I think he had one bad drop, but for the most part, he looked good. And he's looked pretty good when he's been healthy this whole year. Will Fuller's not practicing and not expected to come back to practice yet. I don't expect him to play right now. So that's a pretty big void. But Bogman, I think you said seven. That's actually exactly what I have. I have that at like a 7%. And again, Fab is all relative at this point, right, guys? Right. Like, it's whatever you need to do to get
many leagues where I have no Fab left. So,
of course. So the only guy who I didn't think you mentioned is Michael Gallup, who I am still trying to add right now, just because, again, I do think that, Joe, as we've talked about, I think last week probably, there's room for that third receiver, I think, anyway, with Dallas. But Van Jefferson, Jamal Agnew, Brandon Ayuk, those guys, Van Jefferson with DeSean Jackson seeking a trade right now. You saw him have the big game here. Mm-hmm. Those guys are all like minimal bids to me, 3%, something like that. But all guys who I'd be happy to add to my roster. Jameson Crowder as well, I'll throw in on that.
I want to talk about Ayuk for a second, because this was the guy that was very difficult. We asked the questions every week, who's kind of difficult for you to get a gauge on? Who do you think might be a dangerous spend? I feel like Ayuk is a dangerous spend because we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And then we got like a little crust of bread. And now everyone's like, oh, good. Now we're all going to fill up on Brandon Ayuk and everything's going to be fine. Do you think that there's a little bit of now chase for Brandon Ayuk for some people that think maybe they're going to be too aggressive on him and maybe that's going to be a bad idea?
I think that people want Brandon Ayuk to be a thing because we thought Brandon Ayuk would be a thing when we did drafts. And so they look for any semblance of a reason to get excited about him. And I think I'm guilty of that myself as somebody who, wanted Brandon Ayuk and thought he would basically be what Deebo Samuel is. I think the big thing, by the way, that we need to remember when we are getting excited about Brandon Ayuk is that there is another player coming back for the 49ers in week 9, and his name is George Kittle, and he is going to command targets and he is going to command attention, and that is going to lower the ceiling for everybody. I mean, Deebo Samuel, you can lower the ceiling and still be way above everybody else. But I think that is going to hurt Ayuk overall. So that's really why, for me, it's somebody who is like, well, his snaps have been trending up. His routes run have been trending up. So that's a good sign. So I'll add him just because I've seen the talent before. But I really don't think that it's going to be an explosion or anything like that, mainly because Kittle is coming back.
Bateman's actually my number one still too over all these guys, because I do think as the season goes on, he can continue to build on it. And I think what's interesting about Bateman is this is a rookie who didn't have a preseason, who has spent the first X number of games on the IR and is already kind of integrating himself into the offense and looks pretty good at the NFL level. I know it's a small sample size, but it's an encouraging small sample size. And Bogman's right, like Andrews and Hollywood Brown are getting a ton of action, but I feel like everybody recognizes that now. And now when you're playing Baltimore, you're now saying, okay, well, we can't just let Hollywood Brown drop the ball anymore. Like, we actually really have to come up with a plan to jam him at the line of scrimmage, slow him down, figure that out. I think a lot of attention is going to be paid to both of them, and deservedly so, which means Bateman's going to have a lot of one-on-one coverage. And if he can kind of develop over these next 5 weeks or so, that I think by the time you get into fantasy playoffs, you have a guy that you actually feel pretty good about starting. Parker is my second. They're very close this week because of, once again, that Houston matchup that's out there. And, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in Tua necessarily, but I have faith in anybody against Houston. Crowder's my third. I like the volume that you see out of them. And Mike White played really well. I mean, all the magic Mike White stuff, like, that's the guy. I think, you know, for all that, he seemed to be getting the best out of them. I mean, when you go and you watch the highlights and then you watch them all in the locker room after.
Seemed like they liked playing for him, too.
Right?
Why, it seems like they really like the guy. If you have 400 yards passing and you win a game against the Bengals and then come back, everybody's going to like playing for you. I wonder, do you guys think the fact that I realize Crowder has a specific role, but obviously Corey Davis was out in this game, and Corey Davis had been the one who was commanding targets. Do you think when Davis gets back, they have a Thursday night game here, so I don't know whether or not he's going to be able to. Do you think that affects Crowder at all, or do you think that this is just...
It's not going to affect him this week, because I would be shocked if Davis was back for Thursday. With the
and they're just different type of players, you know, so I think of course it's going to
I want the slot guy, right, Boggs?
But yeah, I want the slot guy. So
I agree. I think I'm glad you guys said that, because that is how I feel as well. I think it might affect some of the other pass catchers for the Jets, but certainly that.
Well,
the
other pass catchers, Dan, Elijah Moore, 6 for 67.
Yeah.
And he caught all six of the targets
all
there.
Six, yeah.
Well, if they're going to throw the ball 50 times, I mean, you know, somebody's going to have to catch it for sure. And they should throw the ball a bunch. They're going to be down. Their defense is still bad, regardless of how good the offense played. So they're going to have to throw the ball a bunch. So I think there can be targets to go around for all those guys. My only trepidation with Bateman, because look, Bateman to me is the best wide receiver on the Ravens right now. I think he's better overall than Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown's a deep threat. He's a very good receiver, but he's just now developing. That's kind of my hesitation with him, is that it took 3 years for Marquise Brown and Lamar to kind of sync up.
But I Bateman think that's more on Marquise, Boggs.
It could be. It really could be, because it didn't take Mark Andrews very long. But also, we saw Bateman's really big game without Watkins. So Watkins comes back. How is the snap percentage going to work between those two in a full passing game? Because I think the game they were together, they played, and they play someone bad. I can't remember who it was. But I'm curious to see how it all works out with everybody together clicking on all cylinders, still with no running back in Baltimore. So
I think for me, it really is the fact that this is a different Baltimore offense right now. I mean, Lamar Jackson's like one of the leaders in air yards. You know,
this is the Louisville offense, which is what I'm saying they should be doing with Lamar since he came into the league.
And the thing is, like, the running backs, hopefully Latavius Murray comes back, but, like, we are hanging our hopes right now on Latavius Murray being the back, because otherwise it's like the corpses of Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman, and it's just something where it's working right now, what they're doing, where the primary running threat is Lamar Jackson, but, you know, these guys, and this is what their offense does, is it creates these wide open, you know, there's a lot of times you look, there's nobody around these receivers, they just have these wide open spots. To me, I get it. Watkins is a fair point, but I just think, like, what we have seen from Bateman in the short time, given, again, the increased sort of, you know, not only pass attempts, but also air yards that you're seeing, I don't know, man. And again, their matchups going forward, Minnesota, Miami, Chicago, like, you know, they're
going to be
able to.
And I'll tell you what, I'll even add to your point here, is this defense got exposed by Cincinnati.
Correct.
They were up 17-13 in that game before losing 41-17. All of those points came in the last 2.5 quarters for Baltimore. So they kind of got blueprinted a little bit, and they've had issues on defense. One of the linebackers just got shot at a Halloween party, Malik Garrison. So, I mean, there is a lot going on in that defense, too.
And that's the thing. And so you've got sort of a perfect combination here for another receiver to step in. And I guess the one thing I'll say about Watkins is, like, the number of times that we have said, well, let's see what it looks like when Sammy Watkins gets back in an offense is like too numerous to count at this point, and it really never happens for him. So for me, I'm pretty optimistic here about Bateman, and he is in a little bit of a tier unto himself for wide receivers and waiver wire ads for me.
Joe, who's more annoying to make happen, Watkins or Rashad Penny?
Oh, Rashad Penny, because at least Watkins has played in the NFL and had moments. You know, I mean, if you go back to Buffalo days of Sammy Watkins showed you some big moments. Yeah. Yeah, he had some really good days. They were frustrating, and then it would be a foot injury for the next month and a half after. But he would have that one big game, and he was like, well, Sammy Watkins, boy, that was really something there. Rashad Penny. Anyway, there's one more guy here in my top five I want to talk about. It's Van Jefferson before we get to some of the lesser names and talk about the guys in the Falcons, because I know everyone's got questions there, too. Van Jefferson was one of my favorite guys coming into this year. If you watched carefully in the playoffs last year and towards the end, a lot of good stuff coming out of, you know, Sean McVay's mouth about Van Jefferson, the coaching staff about him, and the whole thing. We all looked at each other and all said, well, but where's the path, right? And then they brought in DeSean Jackson, and now it looks like Jackson's kind of moving to the side. In the last 2 weeks, you're seeing Van Jefferson be this third guy, and this is a great offense, Boggs. Is Van Jefferson a guy worth adding even in 12-team league right now for you? Because to me, I think he is.
Didn't he leave late with a knee injury? I'm not sure how much that's going to impact him moving forward. They were also up, so I'm pretty sure I saw that he got a little nicked up at the end of that game. But I mean, DeSean Jackson requested a trade because of Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson has taken over that third role, and they're going to pass the ball a bunch. I mean, the Rams are kind of the opposite of Baltimore, though, as their defense is good, and they just added Von Miller as we started this show. So their defense is really good. But
we've been killing Von Miller on the IDP show for weeks now, you and I.
Yeah, but now that he's going to play on the same side as Aaron Donald, he's going to get way more one-on-ones. So we'll just see how it works out. I'm not crazy over
Von Miller. Wait to talk about what that we get tomorrow night on the IDP show. What's left in the Von Miller tank? Don't miss that. Please, I beg everybody. That is going to be an incredible conversation there for sure. Go ahead, Boggs.
Without this injury, I would have been way more on Van Jefferson, and that's hard for me to love an Aggie, but he has been really good for them this season.
I did just check it out, and he did injure his knee a little bit late, but he was cleared to return, Boggs, but they just said they were up so much that they didn't even care. Yeah, so he should be okay.
All right, let's talk about what's remaining of the Atlanta Falcons now, too, because I know we kind of touched on it briefly, but it's Russell Gage, it's Tajay Sharpe, it's Zacchaeus, it's... and then, you know, to a certain extent, too, we can even talk about the Saints and kind of throw them all, since they're all in the same division anyway. Now with Winston gone, you got Callaway, you've got Traquan Smith, Trevor Siemian might play quarterback this week if Taysom Hill doesn't pass concussion protocol. And there's a lot going on now in this division in terms of wide receivers. And we still, I don't know what the APB is out on Michael Thomas, but he is still not around. Nobody says anything. We get nothing about Michael Thomas, right? So what do you make of this now, Dan? Are any of those guys I just talked about in this division who are the remaining wide receivers now in the NFC South that don't play with Tom Brady that we want to talk about, are any of these guys valuable at all in your mind?
Absolutely not. I want nothing to do with any of them. Sometimes I try to make strong statements just so I can be like, if somebody cuts out for whatever reason, they'll know exactly how I feel. I don't see it at all. I mean, look, I don't know about you guys. Like, you know, I'm finishing up my start sit stuff and I'm like, oh God, Calvin Ridley is out. And this is before we knew like the long-term stuff. But I was like, wow, Russell Gage. All right, let's move him up the rankings here. You're like, you know, a high-end flex at this point and then not a target, I don't think, the entire game. I'm just not trusting any Falcon not named Kyle Pitts in the receiving game. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson is a running back, so whatever. So I want nothing to do with any of those guys. And yeah, I assume it's going to be Taysom Hill. And I was seeing some of the reports suggesting that they think he is going to be able to come back this week. And that's great, but what have we seen from any of them to make us feel optimistic? I'm glad Traquan Smith caught a touchdown. I'm glad Marquez Callaway caught like an important pass in this game, but they haven't been reliable. So really, we're talking about like seven or eight guys at this point that we're like, we could pick these guys up. We could be okay with them. Like we're not anywhere close to talking about, for me, the Falcons or the Saints.
All right, let's switch gears now and go to the quarterback position, talk about the guys worth streaming this week. As I mentioned before, I would still be streaming Tua against Houston because it's against Houston, and what an interesting web we weave, right? That we would think that the trade deadline week also happens to be the week where Tua place Houston. That's kind of fun, right? All these rumors have been going on. I mean, and I didn't even think about that until just now when we're looking at the schedule and looking ahead going, huh, what a wacky week to be playing this team. So maybe Tua goes out there, makes a little statement. I don't know. We shall see. Or maybe it's an audition for the offseason where Houston tries to make this trade again if it doesn't work out. Either way, that's my guy this week. Bogman, who is your streaming quarterback this week in week 9?
I mean, I think Tua is the guy, but if I'm picking another one, how about Ben Roethlisberger against Chicago? I think just, you know, Chicago's defense, not great this week against San Francisco. I think the offensive line for Pittsburgh is gelling a little bit more, keeping him a little bit more upright. And I like Ben on a nice Monday night matchup. Always fun to have those Monday night guys, too, and win on Monday night. That's always fun. It can be a little nerve wracking if you go in down, though.
Dan, you don't care for the Monday night victories? You don't like waiting?
I get very nervous, and I have a bad history with Monday night, so that's personally for me. But I mean, more like, I was just surprised to hear that, Bogman, just because, I mean, Ben's thrown more than one touchdown pass one time this entire season.
Do you
think
Chicago.
He's going to go off? Just yeah, Chicago. You think the matchup trumps it all? All right.
I do.
All right.
I think Justin Fields is going to get sacked, set them up with short fields, you know, make the Steelers defense is really good.
It is very good.
And
in fact, I moved them up in rest of season this morning too, where I had them.
They're playing a rookie quarterback. So I just think TJ Watt knocking that ball out is going to happen at least twice. And it's going to set Pittsburgh up for short fields. So.
All right. That's fair. I do not want Ben just because, again, I don't think that the passing volume necessarily is going to be there. But I will take Tua. I feel pretty confident in Tua, Joe, this week. Tua's played fine. I mean, this is a tough matchup again against Buffalo. But I think that he might want to make a statement as well here, you know, with it. And I think when you have Parker and Waddle there, that opens things up a little bit like that. My second choice would be Hill because, again, everything I see suggests he's going to come back. And Hill, while not maybe a great real-life quarterback from a fantasy standpoint, given how much he runs, can certainly put up points against Atlanta. So
average
those are really
23 points a game in his 4 starts last year, which would make him, I think, quarterback 14 or 15 this year, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, Tua's played well also, by the way, against bad teams this year. He played Jacksonville, put up 22 points. He played Atlanta, 29 points. You know, when he played Buffalo, a combined 17 points. You know, they also knocked him out of that first game, but still, you know.
By the way, Dan, I started by saying Tua is the guy. So, but if
yes,
I had
well,
to
we all agree, one, but
no, no,
but
I heard,
to go
I heard pick up Ben and drop Mahomes. That's
that,
all I
is that what
that's
you heard? Well, heard? Yeah, I mean, that might be the call after tonight. We'll see.
We'll see.
Oh, goodness. Let's switch gears here to the tight end position. See if we can find somebody. And, I mean, I'm going to talk about Pat Freiermuth because I know Pods wants to. Let's
correct.
Go. What'd you call him before?
Toe tap Pat. Oh, did you
that
see
was
that
so
catch?
Great.
Come it was. On. It was
I was
great.
Watching that, by the way, with my son, and like we both just, we're not Steelers fans. We're both just watching the game, and we both just like put up both our arms, right? Like in celebration when it happened. It was awesome, man.
Well, Boggs,
awesome.
You and I talked about Freiermuth, and I don't know how many conversations we had earlier in this year when we were doing Black Book and stuff. We were talking about, look, if it wasn't a Kyle Pitts year, then Freiermuth would get a lot more publicity because he's a really good college player. And here he is with 14 targets in the last 2 weeks that he's played, and he's caught 11 of them and one for a touchdown. And it seems like now in the absence of Juju Smith-Schuster, it feels like Pittsburgh's kind of simplified things a little bit. Like the Juju absence is actually kind of made them simplify a few things, which is, I think, to Pat Freiermuth's benefit. So I would feel comfortable, again, in this situation you're talking about with Chicago, where they might be running shorter fields. That means more red zone opportunities. It means, once again, the tight end sometimes gets more looks in the red zone and more opportunities to score a touchdown. So I know you could probably go on about Pat for hours and hours, but the show's not that long.
I mean, look, Ben loves him. That's really the thing, is he's earned the quarterback's trust already. And Ben was going to him with Eric Ebron in there. So, you know, he's going to go back to him, especially after that enormous catch in the end zone against Cleveland this week. So I think he is the number one pickup as far as tight end goes for sure this week. If I'm not picking him, I'd go Tyler Conklin against Baltimore because I think Baltimore's given up the second most points to tight ends on a per game basis this year. So I think Tyler Conklin could get a decent amount of targets. I think he had 5 or 7. He caught 5 last night. So he had a decent amount last night. And if you get good Kirk Cousins, then they're going to play well. We happen to have a bad Kirk Cousins week on Sunday Night Football. So Toe Tap Pat and Conklin are my guys for this week.
All right, Dan, how about for you? Is there a tight end that you feel good about streaming or maybe picking up and having some value the rest of the season?
I mean, I think it's Freiermuth with a bullet. At this point, I got asked this question. I think Pat and I were discussing it on the recap show, and I'll ask you guys, rest of season, would you prefer Pat Freiermuth or Tyler Higbee?
Oh, Freiermuth. I don't even have hesitation there.
This is what I'm saying. He's basically, essentially, at this point, like, creeping into... He's a borderline tight end one for me right now.
I think I have him at 13 right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he's a guy who you obviously pick up. All right, apparently, just breaking, they are signing Adrian Peterson, the Titans. Just
there we go.
Right now. You know what happens in the middle of this show. So we already talked about it.
That doesn't mean they're done. The signing of Adrian Peterson, I just want to tell everybody, it doesn't necessarily mean they're done. It just means that, okay, we've got Peterson... It tells you McNichols is now kind of a guy you push to the side a little bit, right? Because his value is taking a hit because just Peterson's presence. But it doesn't mean that there can't be another guy acquired via trade, right, Dan?
That is true. They definitely could add at something. But it does feel like Peterson can be the guy sort of to sort of take the rushing downs work, and McNichols will factor into the... I like McNichols. Maybe I'm just a McNichols fan for whatever reason, but...
Yeah, why are you a mark for McNichols?
I don't know, man. What did he do? That's just how it is.
He was good at Boise State, but I went to a bowl game, and he was terrible. I went to Boise State versus Baylor, and he was awful. His best play was a tackle he made on a pick.
All right, now I'm out. I'm totally out of McNichols because Bogman went to a bowl game where he was not very good, despite his career at Boise State.
That was an epic flip-flop right before election day tomorrow. That was really good. It was really good.
So anyway, they may add more. You're right, Joe. And again, we don't know. The offense is going to adapt because you're not giving Adrian Peterson, 25, 30 carries a game, of course. Yeah. But we talked about him earlier, so I'll have to think about now where I'm going to have him ranked. Again, we have a waiver wire article, which we constantly update. Don't you people worry out there. So make sure you check it out on our site. We update all the time with our rankings and everything like that. So we'll see how that works. Tight end, as we were saying, Freiermuth for me is basically a borderline tight end one going forward. I love what I've seen from him. I thought this was going to take until next year. Loved him in Dynasty. I thought it was going to take until next year. He is talented. And, Bogman, what I feel like I saw yesterday and I realized Ebron was out was like, it was a concerted effort to get him the ball early on, right? He got a bunch of targets early on. And then later in the game, he makes that incredible catch. Like, he has earned what he is getting right now. So it is
especially
him.
In the red zone. Like, Ben has loved him in the red zone the whole year.
And you can see why. I'm with that catch. Like, that one where he was just like, this is mine. I am taking it. And I am going to toe tap.
His nickname in college was Baby Gronk, which I know a bunch of guys have got.
Sure.
No one is Gronk. But, I mean, he definitely has some... ball hog similarities.
I love it. For me, Conklin, by the way, I agree with Bogman, just to be clear. Especially, by the way, Justin Jefferson did get a little banged up at the end of that game. I assume he's going to be okay, but he was a little in and out. And if anything is, wrong with him, coming into next week, then Conklin is going to be a big-time streamer. So he's second on my list as well.
Dan Arnold is useful as well. I would also throw Dan Arnold's name out there. Also, remind everybody, too, that Logan Thomas is down to like 50% rostered. So a lot of people had to make tough decisions in a lot of leagues. And if Logan Thomas is floating out there, there's a bye this week, right? You've got roster space. He is supposedly supposed to be back the following week. If he is, that's a huge addition for like a buck or two that you could probably throw out there because people might not want to add him because of the bye or might even forget that he's out there. It's another thing just kind of to throw out there and be aware of. I'm so glad we got the Peterson news before we got to this part of the show, which is our top five guys of the week. So now we got to do it on the fly, and this should be fun here. So, Dan Harris, why don't you start with this one? Who are your top five guys now going into week 9? And I'm sure by the end of this show, by the time it like even goes in the can, there'll be some other running back we have to talk about too with Tennessee. I just get this feeling like they're not done, but we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I assume most waivers will not run until Tuesday night. So we may have more information by the time this comes back. But as the situation stands right now, after having the last half hour to think about it, after we talked about it in the beginning, I do think actually I will move Adrian Peterson to my number one overall because if he's going to be the guy there, even if it's not going to be the same workload, like he's got to be one.
Man, the Bogman influence on you is amazing. He's got very that good. Jedi mind power on you today.
All I know is that McNichols is now on the bottom of my list because of that bowl game performance for me.
Cactus Bowl. Yeah, that's right.
I'm kidding. He's still there. I'm going to have, I'll go Peterson 1, Boston Scott still 2 for sure. So I'm willing to spend up on him. I'm going to go with Rashad Bateman at 3, and then it's kind of a long drop to whoever I'm picking up next. I will go with Carlos Hyde right now at 4, just because, again, he may be the starting running back for a team next week. And then I'll keep Jeremy McNichols at 5 right now, because I do think that he is going to factor in, especially with all the injuries. Like, you know, the casual fantasy manager can't name a pass catcher other than A.J. Brown, and if Julio Jones ever gets back, for the Titans. So I think McNichols will still factor in there. So he'll be 5 for me.
All right. I'm still probably going to add Bateman first anyway, even with old man Adrian Peterson. Yep. Peterson would be my 2. Then 3 would be Boston Scott. 4 would be Devontae Parker. And then 5 would be a tie probably between Crowder and Elijah Moore. I like Van Jefferson a lot too, but Crowder, I think, has the most significant short and potentially even long-term appeal too with Magic Mike White. But I like Crowder anyway, because I always like the slot receivers. We always talk about that volume, and typically they're very useful. So hopefully that will work out there. All right. How about you, Boggs? Who is your order now that we have a little bit more defined Tennessee backfield, at least theoretically?
Just real quick, in that Cactus Bowl, 19 carries for 46 yards, 2.4 yards per carry, Dan, 5 catches for 24, 2 assisted tackles because of fumbles.
That's what you've been doing this entire 70, time when you've been quiet. You've been looking total for the
yards,
Cactus Bowl.
70 yeah. total yards, and this is what you're complaining about? Give me 70 total yards any day of the week.
On 24 touches. So,
that's fine. That's
clearly
fine.
He's had no development since 2016 in his game. At all whatsoever, too. So he's still bad. No, look, it's Adrian Peterson, 1 for me. Boston Scott, Jarrett Patterson. And for me, it's more about, you know, if you need a wide receiver, then you can put, you know, Bateman, Parker, Crowder up at the top of that list. I really don't care. But most teams are looking for running backs. So I'm always going to put the running backs as the top options, the ones that are actually addable. And for me, that's Peterson 1, Scott 2, Patterson 3, and then whoever you want between Parker, Crowder, and Bateman is how I would order my list.
Very well. All right, let's get to the streaming defenses here. For me, it's the Raiders against the Giants. We've talked a lot on the IDP show about Jonathan Abram. You and I have had conversations that he's really done a good job in that secondary. We love the player. We love that he hits all that. And at the same time, Denzel Perryman, 45 solo tackles, pretty strong. Daniel Jones is a guy who's turnover prone. All the injuries the Giants have, they're always a work in progress. You never know what Giants are going to take the field any given week. So for me, it's the Raiders. Boggs, who's your streaming defense for week 9?
Look, I know I just talked about maybe Cincinnati getting blueprinted, but I just saw what Cleveland's offense is able to do right now with one healthy Nick Chubb, and that's it. And it's not good. So give me Cincinnati against these Cleveland Browns with all of their broken pieces.
All right. Let's see, Dan, any broken pieces that you want to throw out there as a defense this week?
I think it's probably the Raiders as well. I mean, the cross-country trip isn't always the best thing, but they are off a bye. They've got multiple sacks in every game, and it is Daniel Jones, who we haven't seen yet play tonight. So who knows if he completely
changes. Does it matter? Even if
if
Daniel Jones goes out there and puts up an incredible game against the Chiefs, which is not out of the realm of possibility, it doesn't wash away all of the turnovers of you know, Christmas's past.
That's what you say. I mean, for me, I get highly influenced by a single game at all. I mean, look at Bogman. He's holding an entire career against a player because of
Dan
one
Harris,
college bowl
prisoner
game.
Of the moment. That's going to be your slogan when you're running for office.
I'm not holding that against McNichols, but McNichols is his ceiling is J.D. McKissick, as far as I'm concerned. So
okay.
I don't really appreciate him. But I mean, who knows? Maybe McNichols will get more carries. I mean, maybe he could definitely this week.
It'll make him
Peterson
cheaper.
Coming
I think that's the other thing, too. And maybe we should have that discussion before we get out of here, too.
Yeah, that's a good
now
point.
Now with the Peterson, right, edition, Peterson gets all the eyeballs. Peterson gets all the money. So let's say you have $40 left of your fab to spend. Let's say you're that person, right? You're less than 50% because we're pretty deep into the season.
Yeah.
What would be the two numbers you would want to put for Peterson if you needed running back? And what would be the number you would throw at McNichols, Dan?
So I need a running back.
You need a running back. Everybody needs a running back.
I am probably spending.
Where you go 15 on Peterson and then 12 or 9 on
I'm
McNichols?
Spending more on Peterson. I'm spending more. Just because, look, if this is
if
the guy.
If you need one, yeah.
If you need, you said you need one, I'm spending more on that. Sorry. Okay. So probably 20 to 25 on Peterson. More of like a 10 on McNichols.
Yeah, I was going to say like 21 to 22 on Peterson, like,
so
you know,
because
you think most people are going to go to 20. So I want to add
that is
a dollar or two more on Peterson. And then the same thing, somewhere between 7 and 11 to McNichols.
I wonder, Boggs, if indeed you call him like a McKissick Light or whatever you want to, you know, reference him as. I kind of wonder if McNichols actually becomes the better return on that investment.
He could. He definitely could. Because, I mean, we've seen games specifically with Derrick Henry down or whatever where he will catch 12 balls, you know. Mm-hmm. So he has that type of upside, but that's also his ceiling. I don't think he's ever going to be that between the tackles guy.
All right, let's talk about kicker because that's Dan's favorite thing. No. Dan, why don't you start? Who is your favorite kicker to stream this week?
I do love kickers.
I know you do. That's why I'm giving you the floor.
Without having seen how he does tonight, I would add Graham Gano, who's been surprisingly really effective and generally good like throughout. They're a home game against Las Vegas, who we expect to do well. But again, Gano's this kind of guy. He's very accurate, and he's got a pretty big leg. If I'm forced to choose somebody else, it would be the other kicker in that game, Daniel Carlson, who's also widely available and generally does well. This strikes me as a game where both teams are going to be able to move the ball, but maybe not an abundance of touchdowns. Perfect thing for kickers. So both those guys are the guys I'm targeting.
I'm going to go with the futility of the Minnesota Vikings and Greg Joseph, our fourth overall kicker. Yet, for some reason, roster's still in just 44% of leagues. So let's go. Greg Joseph for me. Dare I ask you, Bogman, is there a kicker you'd like to talk about?
No, there isn't.
Okay.
Not Chris kickers. Boswell, because he has a concussion. So he was actually funny about it too. I don't know if you guys saw that. He said for Halloween I went as a quarterback and got spooked. So
let's move on to the last one here, and it is the little quick game of keep or drop. These are guys, and some of them have some higher percentages this week, but again, I'm forcing the issue because we're almost not quite in the end game now, but we're getting a little closer to it. Not to borrow something from Thanos, who took over for me on the live stream yesterday on Sunday. Devin Singletary, rostered in 78% of leagues. Would you keep or drop him right now, Boggs?
I think you keep a running back. Okay. You know, I think
even if his name is Devin Singletary.
Even if his name is Devin Singletary. Because, I mean, you know, you were trying to get Boston Scott or Peterson or McNichols or somebody. Jarrett Patterson even, but if you don't get him, you're going to want an option that's on the field. So Singletary's on the field, so I think keep him.
Dan, keep or drop Singletary?
Yeah, I'd keep just because of the upside if something were to happen to Zach Moss, so I agree, keep him.
Now, this next guy would be a guy that I would be circling and say, this guy would be a great addition at the trade deadline for a lot of teams, but he hasn't been healthy, and his teammate DeAndre Swift has looked very good. Jamal Williams, rostered in 74% of leagues. It's been a disappointing year for Williams. The health hasn't been there either. Dan, would you keep or drop Williams?
I think same deal basically as Singletary, which is he would have pretty enormous value regardless of what he has right now if something were to happen to DeAndre Swift. So again, rather than spend the remainder of my fab on him after I dropped him, if something were to happen to Swift, I'll just hold him here.
All right. How about you there, Jamal Williams, Boggs, keep or drop?
Keep him. And as the Lions become more desperate to try to do something, I think the offense might change up a little bit. So if Williams gets healthy, I know Anthony Lynn loves him. We might see a lot of 20 carries from Williams into the teeth of this defense, and Swift gets 15 and 10 catches, you know, so it's all running back work there.
Yeah, it seems like that should have been their plan from the get-go, but what do I know? Robbie Anderson, 64% roster, Boggs.
Bury him in a shallow grave with the other island boys. I am done with Robbie Anderson. Sick of him.
Dan, do you have the same strong feelings as Boggs?
I'm having a very difficult time responding because I'm not quite over the fact that 64% of fantasy managers are still rostering Robbie Anderson. That should be 0%.
Who doesn't love one catch for 6 yards?
I mean, he got a target. That was nice to see that target. It was good.
I would rather have Jeremy McNichols from the Cactus Bowl than Robbie Anderson on any of my teams
Guarantee me that performance, and Bogman's taking him over Robbie Anderson. Yeah, I think I probably have him ranked like 70th or 75th in my rest of season wide receiver rankings. No reason to roster him whatsoever.
Last one here, and this is, I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it out of your mouth. Dan Harris, Laviska Shenault. 61% rostered. This is a player that a lot of fantasy analysts love going into the year. We thought that perhaps with DJ Chark being out, this would be a path for him. But instead, it's been Arnold. It's been Agnew. It's been everybody, pretty much Marvin Jones, except Laviska Shenault. Would you keep or drop him at this point?
Man,
there's a lot of wide receivers on the wire this week, by the way.
This is the thing. I think my initial reaction is I'd hold. Like, my initial reaction is I want to keep him on my roster. And yet, Like you said, Joe, if I'm sitting there and I'm like, do I want to pick up Rashad Bateman? Do I want to pick up Devontae Parker? Would I rather have him than Chenault?
Crowder,
they're not using him out of the slot anymore. It's Agnew. Yeah, I'm cutting him. I'm moving on.
I think I am too. How about you, Box?
Just I wasn't always against Urban Meyer. I didn't like the hire, but seeing LaVisca Chenault get 3 targets, Marvin Jones get 5, and Agnew and Dan Arnold get 10 and 12, I am just sick of this offense, and Urban's got to go. When you put up that type of performance against Seattle, whose defense is terrible, right, coming off of a bye week, so you mm-hmm. have 2 weeks to prep, guy's got to go. And this is a clear example. I'd be using LaVisca in Wildcat. I'd be motioning him. I'd be trying to
give
him the ball.
There's no creativity with him. It's nothing. It's maddening. I have no idea why.
The only thing that makes me angrier than LaVisca getting nothing is Henry Ruggs getting 3 to 4 targets a game in Vegas. I just don't understand. You spent like an 8 overall pick or whatever it was on Ruggs, and you throw him the ball deep 3 times. It's just ridiculous. So,
by the way, Trevor Lawrence yesterday. 54 pass attempts, right? Is that what he had, I think? And you get those targets? Like, how does it get better?
What more proof do you need? Yeah, right. To cut LaVisca. Yeah. So, yeah, you can cut
him. I agree.
All right, I'm glad they saved that one for last because I knew it was the best one. Look at that.
Yep.
All right, I want to remind everybody, don't forget to head over to fantasypros.com/contest to get involved in that Chris Godwin jersey. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. Again, that's Pristine Auction.com. It can be yours, and get your 3X entry by subscribing to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. And of course, over at Fantasy Pros, you can also check out my playbook where we have the cheat sheets, which are free, which will help you. You pick your favorite experts for rest of season, dynasty rankings, whatever it might be, and get a customizable cheat sheet to attack your waiver wire. That's what you want. And of course, you can also upgrade over there, fantasypros.com/myplaybook, for the waiver assistant as well, which is very helpful. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Decked. I'm telling you, this is the system you need for your truck to keep all of your stuff, your tools, your gear, everything safe, secure, and pristine. What you're going to do is go over to deck.com/fantasypros for free shipping. Again, in that Decked drawer system, that's deck.com, deckeed.com/fantasypros. And if your fantasy life is not going your way and you're not happy with some of these teams, head over to propsfantasy.com/pros, where you could still make some money on the teams that you drafted and aren't going very well. Again, that's propsfantasy.com/pros. So this was a fun show and a jam-packed show, and one that was live. And I think that Tennessee situation will continue to be live and fluid. So keep a close eye on that. We'll be available here as always on Fantasy Pros to help you through all of it in the week ahead. So that'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Scott Bogman and Dan Harris, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.